everybody, welcome to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously, but who I think is probably real glad that Angel Hernandez has retired.
Oh, my goodness. at the same time.
Oh, don't start. I've had to listen to you complain about Angel Hernandez for literally half my life.
And now what will I talk about, honestly?
Well, that's true. Okay, yeah. That's true. Now you might start complaining to people about me, and I don't like that.
Sure, absolutely. All the blown calls you've had.
Oh, so many. So many. Do you want to describe Angel Hernandez or explain who he is to those who might not be baseball fans?
Oh, well, so I'm sure everybody out there is a fan of some sort of entertainment. So imagine if the person... That's great. People love entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. So whether it's a sport or a... I don't know what other forms of entertainment there are, but
it's a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Podcasts.
It would be like, okay, so to put it in podcast terms, Angel Hernandez is like the producer Ryan of baseball, right?
That's right.
So, in terms of his responsibilities, so imagine if producer Ryan kept like cutting into the middle of the episode to like correct Clayton's grammar or, you know, have some snide comment about my shirt or something like that. That's basically Angel Hernandez. So.
Except if he was wrong about it every
time. Yeah, exactly. That would be... I hate Patrick's red shirt, but it's not even red. Yes, but it's terrible. Right, but it's not. It's not red.
You're going to have to change it.
Yeah.
It's so red. Sorry. It's too red.
Yeah. So anyway, Angel Hernandez, easily the worst official in all of baseball. He's just a perfect combination of terrible at being an official and being an umpire, and also extremely confrontational about how terrible he is about it.
When I saw he was retiring, I spent probably a good 3 hours just watching nothing but supercuts of his worst calls, and that was time well spent. What a man. Just amazing stuff.
Like, he's just someone that seemed like he got bored with baseball about 15 years ago, if not a little... I don't know, resentful of it.
And I was going to say resentful is exactly the word I was going to use.
And decided he was going to start inserting himself into every single game at one random point throughout the game for no real good reason.
And then they're like, hey, this guy should ump the World Series.
Yeah.
So it's fun. Man.
Egon.
Glad he's dead.
I mean, someday he will be dead, but he's...
Sure. This is like when Tim McCarver finally retired, and then suddenly everyone's like, actually, I really valued Tim McCarver's perspective. And it's like, fuck off. I heard nothing but people complaining about Tim McCarver announcing games for literal decades. Since he gone, well, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, no more revisionism. He sucked the whole time.
So how is your day? How is your week going?
Fine. Good. Still here. Still in the basement. So
yeah, that's good.
Can't really complain. How about you?
Thank you for asking. This morning we had we went to a very complex graduation ceremony for my pre-K student.
A complex pre-K graduation ceremony?
It was elaborate.
Okay.
It was
were there doves?
I'll show you. I'm not gonna put this on the screen.
Like a bird release? Dude, that's always my favorite part of the pre-K.
There was no bird release by the grace of God, but like so. There are, can you see this? There are balloons. There's a red carpet. There is, and then the kids all wore like these sash. Here's a video, Maple, that no one else can see except you, but here's Maple walking in. They had the hats and sashes and everything. They were playing Pomp and Circumstance. There were speeches. There were lots of songs.
Speeches?
Okay.
That's good.
It was, and I thought this is a 4-year-old child
right.
who has to actually go back to pre-K next year because she's not old enough to go into kindergarten yet. So what are we doing? And Aaron and I are the parents who are like, we're showing up there in the morning. We're like, so we're doing this, right? We're going to graduation.
Right.
Right. And Maple's really excited about it cause they've made it a big deal at school. So we're like, of course we're going to go cause she's excited. But like, we're doing it. So we show up, and like these other parents have like arms loaded down with like gifts for all the other kids, and like these really elaborate like snack packages and things. Hey everyone, they're gonna be back in the same place next year. I mean, not ours because we're moving, but like y'all are gonna. It's what it, it's. They're four.
Yeah,
they're 4 years old. So that was my morning, and I lost about 2 hours of my life. I'm sorry. I spent 2 hours of my life doing that.
Wonderful.
And that was my morning. And that was cool.
Great. That's a nice little
send off. Thank you for asking.
Send off from it's more like Maple's graduating from Chicago, really.
That's how I've chosen to look at it. Yeah.
to keep myself from going mad, I thought, you know what? I'm going to just change this in my head to something totally different.
Well, also, this particular school is closing after, I guess, checks watch today. Okay. So it was a little bit sad because the speeches were all from the teacher who was like sobbing. So that did make it a little, that was a hard to get through in a different way, an emotional kind of way. One of the teachers, because there's three of them, because it's pre-K, so you have to have like a certain number of like a ratio of caregivers to children. And so one of them asked, what are you doing? She's like, I'm gonna be teaching in LaGrange. And I was like, congratulations, that's you really leveled up. And then second teacher, I said, well, what are your plans? She goes, I don't know. And I said,
she's kind of looked away
and didn't speak again. I said, oh boy, Maple, we gotta go. So that was my day. That
well
my
played. Morning. Great.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
Ruined a preschool teacher's day by about 9:30-ish?
Well, something technically like she's not a preschool teacher.
I'm sorry. Always look on the bright side of life.
Mm-hmm. Oh man. So yeah, pretty proud about that. And that's the story here.
Exciting.
Before we dig into the story, just a couple of notes here, housekeeping notes. We have a brand new shirt. Straight into the Flammenwerfer. The first shirt we've ever done that comes from an ad that we've done. Don't tell Smart Labels.
Almost literally nothing to do with anything else about the episode. All the rest of them, you can kind of, turn it sideways a little bit and say, okay, I can kind of see where this fits in. This one.
Yeah, no, not even close.
Not really.
I had one of our super listeners, Jen Jones, who listened. She's a super fan and she's wonderful. She actually reached out and she's like, so sorry, this is a great shirt. I listened to the episode twice. Where did it come from?
Where does this happen?
And I said, yeah, it's from the end. She said, I did listen to the, I'll go back and listen again. So don't tell Smart Labels that either.
Yeah.
But it's a great shirt. It's a ghost with a flamethrower. It says straight into the Flammenwerfer. So if you want it,
go
get it. I think it's technically already the best selling shirt we've ever had. Which checks out, I think. And then last thing, if you have not yet checked out Ghost Plus, now is the time. The next piece of content we have dropping on Ghost Plus is another episode of Smith Show where we talk about whale hotels. And I know what you're thinking. What are whale hotels? I'll give you a hint. They're not hotels for whales. So you're going to want to listen.
I don't think anybody was going in that direction, but that's fine. Now they know they can kind of seal off that path.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of sealing things off, whale hotels, go give it a listen. Second hint, it takes place in Australia in the early 1900s. Ooh. So it is a hoot and a half. So if you're not listening to Ghost Plus, you're missing out. It's $5.99 a month. Go check it out. See if you like it, because you won't regret it. Anything else, Patrick, before we dive in?
No, are is this being released before or after the live show?
After.
Okay. So I hope everyone had a really good time at the live show.
I hope we had a good time at the live show.
Yeah. I hope we're still on the air, really, after the live show.
You never know. You never know. Live show is going to be good. I know this isn't helpful to say at this point, but I've got the story almost done, and it's a top tier story.
Ooh, wonderful. Mm-hmm.
It's an A-list haunting. We got going on, so I'm very excited. So if you're hearing this, you've missed it, the live version, but you'll hear it next week, the recording of the live version, and it should be pretty fun. All right, last thing, Is This a Ghost this week is sponsored by Beef Feast. First you beef, then you feast.
Oh god,
Beef Feast.
Oh, she got to you, didn't she,
Patrick? Can I ask you a question?
No, please.
What did I just read?
I don't even know, really know how to explain that.
I think you're going to have to.
There's some sort of off-brand cat food we bought for the cats years ago that was just called Beef Feast. And so, you know, I was describing it to Amy. She's like, so what exactly are we feeding the cats? I said, it's beef feast. She goes, oh. I said, you know, like a feast of beef. She goes, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's kind of what I figured. I said, no, no, it's like first you beef, then you feast. Uh-huh. She said, she thought that was really disgusting. So
Yeah. She's right.
Yeah.
For sure. I got a text from your wife last week, and she said, hey, do you take requests for sponsorships? Mm-hmm. And I said, we haven't yet, but now that I think about it, it's a potentially lucrative path, so I'm listening.
It's like a trivia night or something like that. Like, this is sponsored by Kevin's grandma. Kevin's grandma, mm-hmm. who wrote us a blank check. So thank you, Kevin's grandma.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is the text I was given to read. So we're sponsored tonight by Beef Feast.
And how much does she owe you now?
I think it's like $20. It's not very much. but it does make me think, you know what? Maybe we should just open this up to anyone who wants to sponsor an episode. So if you're interested in sponsoring an episode with whatever weird thing that you want to plug, I don't know, maybe that's a thing. Send us an email to isthisaghost@gmail.com. We might be able to make this work. Because we do like doing weird stuff for money on this show. It's kind of a hallmark of what we do. All right. Now that we know who we're sponsored by, are you ready?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Bong. Ding, ding, ding.
Edinburgh, Iowa.
Edinburgh, Iowa?
Yep.
Okay.
Edinburgh, which you'll notice I didn't say Edinburgh.
Right, yeah.
It's because, and I listen, UK listeners, I understand. That's not how you pronounce it, mm-hmm. Edinburgh. I am telling you the 1,000%. Mm-hmm. I've never been there. Didn't know there was an Edinburgh in Iowa. I am very confident it's pronounced Edinburgh. It's the hardest G you've ever heard. Absolutely. Edinburgh, Iowa is supposedly a place, though I have to say it's not actually on a map. This is the first time I've ever Google mapped something. Mm-hmm. That I was reading about and did not find a response.
Oh, okay. Is it an X town? Is it a ghost town?
It is. It was. It when it during the gosh. Okay, so during the time that we're going to discuss here, it was, I believe, an unincorporated part of town.
Okay.
Maybe it's no longer called that. Maybe it's been annexed by something else. I don't know. Because I grew up in an unincorporated town, which you would not expect to find on a map, but it is. So I don't know. I don't know what Edinburgh's deal is.
Hmm.
Anyway, Edinburgh. Now, originally, way back when, Edinburgh was the county seat of Jones County in Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Well, that narrows it down. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah. You know, Jones County, Iowa.
Yeah.
Home of...
home of probably what, like one town or something like that, which standard.
One town and one unincorporated town.
Right.
And Edinburgh was the unincorporated. They were the county seat, and the incorporated town hated that. They're like sons of bitches. So they were the county seat. The people of Edinburgh did love that. And in 1840, U.S. President Jimmy Buchanan signed a grant that deeded some land there for a courthouse.
Hmm. Okay.
County seat's got to have a courthouse.
Sure. What else are you there for?
That's right. Mm-hmm. People of Edinburgh love that too. So then the state moved the capital of the county, the seat of the county, 10 miles west to the town of Anamosa.
Oh.
And the people of Edinburgh did not like that.
even the name of the town, Anamosa. Like, how can you not be really angry to the moment?
Oh, man. It's like it's George. What it's Mad Max stuff.
Oh yeah,
Furiosa. George Miller.
Yeah.
It's like George Miller presents Iowa, Anamosa, for sure. So the county seat gets moved 10 miles west of Edinburgh after Buchanan signs this grant, but the land grant stays.
Mm-hmm.
So they still have the land grant, right?
Okay.
Because it's being granted, but they're no longer building a courthouse there because this is no longer the county seat. So they're moving. They're going to build the courthouse elsewhere. But now these people have this land, and so the people of Edinburgh are like, "What do we do with this land now?"
Yeah, I mean, water park. It's an obvious option.
I was going to say water park is yes, it is obvious. That was top of my list. And they decided to go a different direction. They decided to build a county poor farm.
Oh, okay.
You know what a poor farm is exactly?
I'm gonna guess, pure guess. It's where you grow. It's where you grow vegetables.
It's where you grow the poor
to feed the poor people. Poor people, okay. Famously hungry.
Oh, not like a farm for the poor.
Right. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even tended. Oh, maybe even tended by the poor, but definitely the food would be intended for the poor and the poor children.
Isn't that very sweet?
Patrick. Isn't that sweet?
That's very sweet. In 1840, that's not what a poor farm was. it says here, this was a working farm for the poor. In the sense, was the deal was you can stay if you are poor. If you're a poor.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
this is serfdom. You are a poor.
That's what this is.
I think I have a note about that. Exactly.
This
yes,
is
indeed.
Absolutely serfdom.
That's exactly what this is. So if you are a poor, you can stay here. We'll give you a place to live.
Right.
Not like in a house, but we'll give you like, you know. Right.
Like between the rows of beans or something like
yes.
that.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll give you a blanket.
The soybeans get pretty tall. So that's, you're going to want those because it gets real hot. You're going to want that shade. So you can stay there, but you got to work the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much serfdom. Absolutely. They were not paid at all. So it's a form of slavery,
right?
Certainly. And that was actually the good version of a poor farm. that was when it was going real well.
Yeah. In the South, they had the bad version going on at the moment and nobody liked that. So,
yeah, well, let's see how the Edinburgh poor farm turned out. Let's see. In Edinburgh, they built a quote, comfortable retreat for lazy, able-bodied and willingly dependent applicants. In reality, the house held those who were thought incurably insane, those with disabilities of various severities, and the elderly abandoned by indifferent family members.
Okay.
So rather than just like opening it up to poor people who wanted to make a living, they're like, well, do you have people who are insane or old?
Yeah.
Throw them here, make them work the farm, because we need this food that we will sell then to line our pockets.
So long as the check keeps clearing every month, they can stay in the house. Otherwise,
that's right.
Out in the bean rows.
Residents there were referred to as, quote, inmates. Which is that's not what you want.
You definitely don't want to look down at like your name tag and be like, inmate, that doesn't sound... Oh, no. Shit. You're right.
Why is my name a number now? It doesn't seem right. So this was obviously terrible, and a lot of people died there. And sometimes their relatives came to pick up the bodies, which is really nice.
Kind of the bare minimum, but yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
I guess you don't have to.
No, and some didn't. So sometimes... Now, people didn't have any relatives, certainly. Or if the relatives were like, oh, kind of busy. I got a lot to do today.
Yeah.
Can't really pick up your body. then the bodies of those dead folks were buried on the grounds.
Sure. Oh. It's not good.
Might be.
so you got the farm on one side where they're growing the beans.
Yeah.
You got the graveyard on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Which of these two is going to fill up quick? It's going to fill
up first. I'll tell you what. Here's what I think they probably, if they didn't do it, they should have done for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A little bit of peanut butter and jelly? Yeah.
yeah, I think so. So farm here.
Right.
Graveyard down here, 6 feet under the farm.
Oh,
because
down.
You know it's going to make good fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
Humans.
Poor people. Yeah.
Yes.
Or crazy people. Yeah.
Yeah. Or old people.
Yeah.
Anything. I mean, any kind of people you got, really.
We're all carbon. Yeah. When it comes down to it.
Yeah. You know. That's right. So I don't know. Good question. But they did bury them in the ground. Now, the Edinburgh Poor House operated for about 50 years.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah. But by 1910, the building was quite literally falling apart. So they tore it down. And that's when they built the new structure on the property.
Hmm.
Which is the current structure still today.
Okay.
A building called Edinburgh Manor. Now, this building is a big improvement.
Sure.
It's not falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
It's brand new, so it's pretty good.
It's not full of the medically insane or poor anymore.
No, we haven't opened the doors yet, so let's pump the brakes a bit.
If they tore the last one down, I'm willing to bet that, you know, they didn't build around all the gurneys and such, but I don't know, maybe.
You got to do something with those gurneys. You're going to store them in the new house. And, I don't know. Let's just find out what happens. This one was built of sturdy brick and spanned over 12,000 square feet.
Whew.
And it did indeed pick up where the old building left off and continued serving Jones County's, quote, insane and indigent mm-hmm. citizens well. According to this one source, I'll tell you what I think. I don't think they treated them very well. It's on for a few more decades, but then the local government raises a lot of money off the backs of the poor for a long time. Mm-hmm. They're reaping the rewards of this farm. Mm-hmm. And I think it probably, if you put someone in the home, it cost you money.
You would figure. Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, they don't just like lock the door and then throw beans in through the window or something like that. Maybe they do.
Magic beans.
Quick, eat them before Sheila does.
There's a beanstalk growing out of my tummy. Get on it. So let's see, where are we here? So this is going well for the locals until 1935, when the Social Security Act becomes law and suddenly economically depressed folks actually have financial assistance, which is crazy. Socialism, gross. Why would you want to help people?
Yeah.
You know,
they were fine.
They were doing great.
With four beans a day, usually very big beans.
And sometimes magical.
Mm-hmm.
So people had to rely less and less on poor farms in order to survive. Like, so this is an entitlement program. ruining the gravy train for everyone. So more and more people now are able to keep themselves out of poorhouses, which is great news, of course, for those people.
Right.
Less good news for Edinburgh Manor.
Yeah. Yeah. For the burgeoning poorhouse industry. Oh, man.
It's going to be a blow. So in order to survive, the manor does a little pivot and they transition to a full-on insane asylum.
You just take that dial and you crank it right over, buddy.
You go all the way. Mm-hmm. Go all the way. You pull down all those sheets that are kind of hiding that that corner of your building. You just go for it. Here's a quote from one of the sources. This proved fruitful for its longevity. How much longevity, you may ask? I'm here to tell you, Patrick Dean, Edinburgh Manor continued to operate into the 21st century.
Ooh, wow.
Here's one of the wildest paragraphs I think I've ever read on this podcast. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is a quote. Edinburgh Manor was cemented into mental health history in Iowa, yet as societal and medical advancements, it was not long before the old building was unable to keep up. After cuts to mental health care funding, Edinburgh transitioned to nursing home care.
Okay.
We've had a great time with all these lunatics, and we're really well equipped to handle them.
Yeah.
It's just, the money is moving to old people.
Yeah.
So we're going to take what we do now.
Yeah.
We're going to do it with old people instead.
I know all of the insane people that keep showing up trying to pay us in shells and shiny rocks and threatening us. That industry, again, is going really well. But there's a new crop of people in here.
And you're going to do like therapy and you're going to do like, warm baths and things. Oh, no, we're pretty good at electroshock.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of what we're going to keep on doing. In the early 21st century, though, unfortunately for poor Edinburgh Manor, more advanced nursing homes started opening around the county, which I don't think was right, because they really did keep doing like the same therapies and methods of care they were using for the mentally insane.
Sure.
That's what they were doing for the elderly
in
a retirement home.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I think you gotta be real nice to your kids. gotta be so nice to your kids. Because they're going to do the research, and they're going to make a decision for you.
you're going to show up to tour the place, and as soon as you open the door, you can hear the screams from inside. And you're like, Mom, just give it a chance. Those are probably...
We have a good pamphlet, Mom.
Yeah.
Good pamphlet.
I think they're just watching a show inside. I think that's what you're hearing right
that's
now.
That's just a massage room, Mom. They're doing the hard massage. It's great. They got the real
hot stones out. This is going to be great.
It's worth every penny,
and
it does cost one penny. And we're very excited about that, Mom. Thank you for my childhood. Please get in. Okay, so Edinburgh Manor could not compete with all these good nursing homes. So they eventually do close their doors for good in November of 2010.
Oof.
And now for one of maybe the best quotes I've read on the podcast. The building spent some years as the premier abandoned insane asylum in Iowa. I have no idea what that means.
Well, I mean, someone's got to be at the top, you know. I'd much rather be the premier than, you know, like, the up-and-coming
I get the Iowa crappy insane little startup. Yeah. What do you think makes an abandoned insane asylum, like, mm-hmm. the top abandoned yeah. insane asylum?
What would be really scary is if you're a resident there and you see them, like, painting the sign out front about, you know, come visit the premier abandoned insane asylum in Iowa, and you're like, wait a second, but I'm still...
abandoned? What?
I'm still right here. This is odd. Is this why the food ration is beginning so small?
And then another one walks toward you, wiping a knife on his, yeah. on his sleeve. Oh, no. So I have no idea what it means to be the premier abandoned insane asylum in Iowa, but sounds great. In 2011, though, a year after it closes, the building was purchased by Q Farm Land Trust for $52,050. Sydney Anderson, who is a trustee of the trust, said she was attracted to the majestic brick building. Here's a quote from Cindy. There were no plans. It was kind of a fluke. I never expected to win the bid.
You know what? Sudden, you had a couple drinks. It's late at night.
We've all been to silent auctions.
One of those property auction websites. And you wake up the next morning with a bunch of emails in your inbox. And you're like...
And now you own the premier yeah. abandoned insane asylum in Iowa. I never expected to win the bid. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what am I supposed to do with it? Which is very relatable. I mean, haunted house seems like the only option.
Mm-hmm.
At this point,
I guess it's good if you own a haunted house, but it's not your primary residence. You know, I'm not entirely sure.
Well, it's certainly better than the alternative.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure how you file taxes on that. Cause it's like, like, oh, what, how would you classify this secondary residence? Oh, it's a haunted house. Right.
I mean, I don't know. As a curse.
Is yeah.
How do curses depreciate over time? So they're trying to figure out what to do, but Anderson and her partner then begin experiencing things they cannot explain, like items moving around the building when nobody's there.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're very rational people. They did not think that these were ghosts. Like they're normies.
Right.
So they didn't jump to that sort of thing. But in 2012, they were spending a night there one night for, I suppose, reasons. There was some renovation work going on. They wanted to be, I guess they were probably doing it. They're probably doing the renovation work and they're staying there.
Oh, doing the renovation work. Okay.
Yeah, I is my guess. So they're they're doing the renovation work. They're staying there night there. Anderson's partner felt something squeezing his toe several times throughout the night. Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had porn music on my like to call up on my buttons. That would be so good. I would not think this through.
Because I'm squeezing your toe for an hour and then whisper in your ear, this is gonna take 4 days. What the fuck?
What? We only have dial-up internet. It takes a while to see the whole thing. Oh man. So he feels something squeezing his toe several times. Now he still doesn't think it's ghosts. Like they're like, this is weird. Like something, yeah. There's weird stuff happening here, but
now, even for a ghost, even for a kinky ghost, this is an odd thing.
It's like, you know, 4 days on this. Yeah. Absolutely not. So, but other people are like, dudes, it's ghosts. Mm. It's definitely ghosts. So Anderson and her partner finally broke down and they let some paranormal investigators in to stay for mm-hmm. a night or two. And oh boy. So here's what I'll tell you. So the investigators uncovered more ghosts than the new owners could possibly have imagined.
Mm, okay.
Now, again, this has been an insane asylum. It's been a poorhouse. It's been an elderly home. Like,
sure.
Lots of death happening here. All right, so I apparently can't share these. I got some kinks worked out. Patrick, I've sent you these links. Will you open these up and share them for us, please?
Oh, absolutely.
This is what it looks like today.
Ooh, okay. That is...
It's a bathtub.
Yeah, it's a bathtub. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Kind of taken aback a little bit. It's a bathtub. Looks like, I don't know, something, definitely something you would feel much dirtier after getting out of than getting into. So pretty gross. For sure. Yeah. But I would say pretty standard abandoned.
Yeah, the tile looks actually fairly clean on the walls. That's not bad.
I would put that. That's like a gray leopard print tile. I put that in my bathroom today. Not the tub though, or the drapes.
No, the drapes are terrible.
And let me see. What else you got? Let me see. I've got. Oh, this is like your pretty typical hoarder's bedroom, I would say.
Okay. Maybe a fire's ripped through there.
Possibly. There's appears to be maybe a sink over here in the middle of it, which is a little bit gross, I would say. Uh-huh. So pretty standard abandoned fare though. Right? So now we're in a hallway, crumbling paint everywhere.
Drip stains.
Yeah. I would, but again, maybe a little paint scraper and a vacuum. I think I can make this shine.
Okay.
I think it's in pretty good shape. This is worse. This appears to be some sort of a common area or maybe somewhere that therapy goes on. Now
that window suggests maybe a shallow basement.
It's
not a tall window.
Makes it worse, I would say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then of course the sad clown ceiling fan.
Now what is this?
This is some sort of a ceiling fan that suffered a lot of damage and is now wilted and desperately wants to be put out of its misery. So
I've never seen a fan in this shape before.
Yeah,
pretty. Where all the blades have just gone.
Mm-hmm, yeah, like some sort of wilted flower. So yeah, pretty gross place. I would say that much. Yeah. Pretty gross. Wouldn't want to be there.
No. So that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So the first people to come investigate this as a potentially haunted place, they start in room 200. And that's where Anderson's partner felt his toe squeezed all night long.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's where you start.
Yeah. Then you go to room 201, 202, you skip a few, and all of a sudden you're getting choked in room 240. Now we're getting somewhere.
I'm a ghost hunter, so I haven't been touched in a really long time. We're going to start right at room 200 and see where this goes. And by room 215, you're being hung and you love it. Mm. You're asphyxiating out there and you're just like, oh my God, I've never been harder. So they start in 200. Now they brought in an EVP on which they caught a voice saying, quote, "I grabbed you."
Oh, well, now you know.
Yep.
Better to know than not.
Yeah, I guess. So maybe the most well-known ghost at the Edinburgh Manor is known as the Joker.
Okay.
Now, the Joker will sometimes...
Yeah, I'm familiar who the Joker is.
I know. The list of Joker jokes I could have made are, it's tough. It was tough. But he will sometimes replace women's cosmetics with new makeup that contorts their faces into a big, grotesque Joker grin. Would you mind sharing? Click that link.
This is exactly what the Joker does. I don't really know.
This is a picture of the ghost, actually.
Oh, that's interesting. That's...
Show it on the screen, please.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's one of the victims.
Okay.
So...
the textbook... fishing line pulled to the ceiling, Joker smile, and the eyes bulging out. Sure.
Yeah.
Looks like a an evil pug is really what it looks like.
And this house is the basis for Tim Burton's Batman.
Hmm.
These jokes work a lot better if I can share a screen and just kind of spring them on you. So. But the ghost there is known as the Joker. And here's a real quote about the Joker. "This specter has become an infamous Iowa urban legend for accosting people. The ghost is known for grabbing, choking, and causing uneasy or anxious feelings."
Hmm. Just anxiety, really. That's all it is.
I think it all, yes. He is found throughout the basement, but he is most active in the padded cell. There's a room in the basement that was once padded, but is now a storage space.
Hmm.
Also in the...
I'm not sure what I'm storing in there, definitely not something I want to be accessing very often. That's long-term storage. That's
for your ex's stuff they left behind.
Yeah.
That's where you're putting that.
You want to go back down there and get it? You go right ahead. Yeah.
Good fucking luck. Also in the basement is the ghost of a tall man in a brown cowboy hat and a long duster coat who sounds fucking cool.
Yeah.
And he appears between noon and 2 p.m. The basement doors also have a tendency to open and slam shut on their own. Another commonly encountered ghost is that of a janitor who hanged himself in the manor from a doorknob with a belt.
Oh.
Here's another.
Ugh. What? No, I mean, yeah. That's
in a sexy way.
Yeah. He just pushed it a little too far, and now you're a ghost too.
Like David Carradine. Oh, David. Here's a quote. People who enter this room report oppressive or negative feelings and an unexplained sudden sense of unease.
Hmm.
Others
more
have
so than just more so than just being in Iowa, I guess. Is it like
is it beyond? Yeah, it's true. We should get a baseline reading for people. Just this is, I don't know how much of this is happening before you entered this house. Others have mentioned seeing a shadow figure wandering the first floor in this area. Up on the second floor of this building, many people see a woman in a long white dress. She seems harmless and usually disappears just moments after being spotted.
A very busy place. This is like a sitcom or something. Yeah.
You could definitely this is a treatment for a show for sure. So if you have a day off or something, you want to sit down and really noodle this out.
Yeah, I'll have a day off in about
this is something.
16, 17 years, something like that. I'll email you.
Get my calendar. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Put it in there. I'm sure shows will still be around by then.
Sure, yeah.
You know, yeah. Movies are doing great right now, mm-hmm. So I bet they'll be around. We could do a movie. There are shadow figures also who roam from room to room. And you can hear the sound of bare feet running down the carpet on the second story. Now, there's also the spirit of a little girl on the first floor who you can hear giggling and running from room to room. Some investigators have brought toys to try to get her to play with them. And she does. She seems to like playing with balls. She will roll them back to you if she's in a playful mood.
Oh.
I don't remember what this... Here's some more photos. Would you open these for me, please?
Sure. Yeah.
Here are some photos from the manor's website. Maybe these are worth looking at. I don't remember.
Okay. So we've got a... Oh, these aren't... Oh, these aren't... These don't blow up.
These are ghosts. Oh, these are photos of the ghost. Yeah,
sure. Yeah. So this one's a photo taken in the basement. Uh-huh. Of what looks like could be a bed sheet flapping through the door, or could be a ghost, depending on how good you are with Photoshop. This one here claims to be a photo of a face in the mirror. Oh, okay, I see it. Okay, yeah.
You see the face? Yeah, the glowing red eye? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a dead giveaway.
Yeah, it's obviously a little strange how it's so terribly out of focus, as they all are, but that's fine. This one is a little bit creepier, the photo of the family standing in front of there, and then you can see some sort of like cursed doll in the dark over the man's shoulder.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, nobody likes that. No. Although this guy does. He's very happy about it. He's super excited.
It's his bread and butter, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not to mention, he's holding a skeleton in his other hand. So this guy is tickled to death that he has been encountered by a ghost.
Yeah. All right. And that is the story of the Edinburgh Manor, which is one of the most haunted buildings in the entire Midwest, they say. And that's Iowa. That's Iowa for you.
I don't know if I want to go to this one. It seems like not reason enough to go to Iowa. I need lots of reasons to go to Iowa.
Yeah. Well, don't we all? This is like the place where Ben and I went, our friend Ben, when we went ghost and monster hunting in Texarkana. We went to an abandoned mental institution that was very similar. The stories are very similar. It's like, in this room, you'll get this ghost. In this room, you'll have another ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that like a wine tasting where they're like, you know, this goat? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you taste the hints of oak?
Of trauma and despair. And this one's got, you taste a little bit of rope hemp in this one from the rope around their necks. Yeah. If we make this into a movie, I have a pitch for a title. Ready? It's Iowa. Mm-hmm. Right? Ready?
Right.
Field of Screams.
I like that.
Yeah.
Pretty good, right? Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. No way that exists already. No way.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so.
Not even going to Google it. Why would you?
Yeah. not necessary. All right. So that is the story of the Edinburgh Manor. Hey, I hope you enjoyed it, Patrick. I hope everyone listening enjoyed it. next week, again, A-list haunting.
Oh, can't wait.
Next week, we're going to talk about something. Everyone's going to be like, oh, oh, this one. Oh, I get it.
Finally.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's finally. I've been listening for like 107 episodes.
Finally, here's what I'm talking about. Freddy Krueger. Oh, yeah.
Well, fuck. If you're going to spoil it, I got to find
a new story. Sorry.
This has been Is This the Ghost? We are a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. And our social media editor is Kai Valonis. Thank you all so much for listening to the show. Please, please come back next week because it's gonna be really fun. And in the meantime, while you're waiting for that next episode to come out, do not let your family check you into this place or any place like it. Do
or even take you really? Yeah,
no, you don't go for a tour. Yeah. No. Don't go. You know what? Don't go for a drive with your family. If you are above the age of 72 and your family's like, "Hey, do you want to go for a ride?" You say no.
I am staying in this chair. Forever.
Otherwise, we may be talking about you next week on Is This a Ghost?